Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, we talk about a lot of important issues and topics on Worldview Matters, and today is no different. But I've got a guest today, a professional journalist that can talk about anything that we want to bring up that we are concerned about as the body of Christ. And that is the author of this book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. It is the Alex Newman. Brother, thank you so much for your time today. Good to see you.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me, brother.
Yep. And your website, of course, The Liberty Sentinel. You can get that, friends, by going to libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. Also look Alex up on Facebook and keep up with his posts there. He writes on so many different things. So, Alex, I almost didn't know where to start with you, but since I have your book in my hand, we're going to talk about AI, the climate cult, maybe China, maybe what some other things, socialism in America. Is communism making a comeback? That's a question for this podcast a little later on. But let's talk about where are we at with the public schools. It seems like, you know, parents tried to raise an awareness about some of the garbage and demonic things that were happening in the curriculum and schoolrooms and classrooms, but it just doesn't seem like we hear enough about that to actually make change, effectual change, when it comes to what kids are getting in the government schools. Just an overview of where we're at in the schools, the public schools in education.
Well, we're facing total disaster when it comes to the government indoctrination camps masquerading as schools, Dave. And this is something that I believe is the most important issue of all the issues. I believe it's directly related to the Great Commission. I believe it's directly related to the gospel. And I believe it's directly related to being faithful and obedient to our Lord. We are called to disciple our children. And unfortunately, most of us are handing over our children to others to be discipled. And, you know, there's no excuse anymore not to know what's going on. I recognize you're probably not hearing about this from most of the fake media, but we have access to all the information we could ever need about the dangers. You don't have to read my book to understand how dangerous this is. Just a few weeks ago, I did an article over at my education blog, The Newman Report, for Freedom Project Media, about Witchy Wednesdays at a school in Florida. They were teaching witchcraft to the entire student body. Every Wednesday morning, they were giving lessons in how to cast spells and how to do proper sacrifices. This is at a government school in Florida, the supposedly glorious state of great education reform. We have a crisis on our hands, and if we don't realize this, if we don't start taking it seriously, we're going to lose another generation of young Americans. And, you know, I can't emphasize strongly enough how seriously parents need to be taking this. And there's nowhere that's safe. I don't care if you're in Florida. I don't care if you're in Wisconsin or Oklahoma or South Carolina. The same filth is everywhere.
Well, I was just going to ask you about that because there are some red states that do a little bit better job. And it depends on, I guess, who gets elected, right? Elections have consequences. And school boards, you know, who gets elected there. But like Oklahoma, they've done a great job generally on getting the right people in different positions. But as you said, they're still not immune to some of the garbage that comes down the pike when it comes to the government schools. So how does this happen, Alex? What you just described in Florida, and I know, you know, DeSantis has been on top of it for the most part. And the government there trying to get some sort of accountability, but you can't fully get any control back from the public schools. How does this happen where blue states can do what they want, but it's also happening in more, quote, conservative states? You know, explain how that works.
Yeah, this is ubiquitous. And I think people make a mistake when they think that we have local schools and, you know, even state schools. We now have government schools that take their orders from the United Nations, the UN agency called UNESCO, and the federal government. And you're right. Some states have tried to push back on this. The great superintendent in Oklahoma, Ryan Walters, who I've interviewed before, he's a great guy. He's got the right ideas. He tried to bring Bibles into the classrooms. And so teachers started taking the Bibles and reading them as if they were funny fairy tales to be mocked and ridiculed. Texas, I was just in Texas. I literally got back yesterday. They passed a law ordering that the Ten Commandments be posted in every classroom. Are the schools complying? Absolutely not, right? Jeez. They're using the same garbage textbooks that they're using in California and other places. They're using the same materials. They're all teaching the Common Core, which, of course, came out of Bill Gates and the federal government through the Obama administration, which happened right after Bill Gates signed a partnership agreement with UNESCO, the UN Education Agency, to globalize education standards, globalize curricula. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there who think, well, you know, I live in a conservative school district and it's not as bad. I know Aunt Mary and she teaches there and she's a Christian. She would never do that. Now, the system is rotten.
Yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
I tried to do with indoctrinating our children to death. And I've got another book coming out very, very soon, Woke and Weaponized, with the great Robert Bortons, where Ooh. We trace the history of this. Yeah, it's a fascinating story, Dave. And I'll just lead with this. I opened chapter one in my book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, is about Robert Owens. Chapter one in Woke and Weaponized is about Robert Owens. He is the guy who first dreamed up the idea that the government ought to be educating our children. That happened in his brain. And I just want to give your listeners a couple of quick facts about him so you'll know everything you need to know. You don't even need to buy the book to know what's really going on here. So this guy claimed, in his words, he was fighting a trinity of the most monstrous evils. This trinity of monstrous evils, he said, was marriage and family, private property, and irrational religion, in particular Christianity. Those are his words, not mine. Okay, so he starts a communist cult commune in Indiana called New Harmony. It fails very quickly, and he concludes that the reason it failed is because the people in his cult communist commune were indoctrinated by this Christian civilization that they lived in. And so the solution, he concluded, was to have the government take over education and prepare them for a life in a glorious utopian future with no family, no wife, no marriage, no private property, and no irrational religion, in particular Christianity. So he sets up a secret society, and we've got all the documents, right? You don't have to believe me. You can go to the end or the notes at the back, and you can go find his own essays, his own speeches. So all this can be verified very easily. We've got smoking gun evidence. He sets up a secret society. And according to a guy who was a big part of his secret society, Orestes Brownson, he eventually became a Roman Catholic, defected from this movement, and wrote a book about it. And I'm very thankful to him for blowing the whistle. He said the great object of this plan to have the government take over education was to get rid of Christianity. And here's the last fact I want to share, David, and then we can move on. But I just want people to understand this is where this whole idea came from. Okay. This guy, just a few months before he died, he convened a summit. He was very humble. It was called the Congress of the Advanced Minds of the World. And he was, of course, the advanced minds of the world. We are the dumb rubes who cling to irrational religion and marriage and family and private property. And he admits in his speech at this ridiculous conference that he's getting his ideas from spirits that he's talking to. He claims to be communicating with spirits of dead people. And these spirits, he says, are talking to him through Ouija boards and through taps on the wall and taps on the furniture. And they, he says, are preparing us for a wonderful future to advance the race. And it's going to be great. All you got to do is do what I say. So this guy's loony ideas get picked up. He talks about this in his autobiography. They get picked up by Baron Jacobi, who was the ambassador from Prussia. They're taken back to the Prussian dictator. The Prussian dictator implements it in Prussia, orders his interior ministry, says he so much approved of this that he ordered it implemented in Prussia. And then Horace Mann, the founder of the first government schools in America in Massachusetts, studies the Prussian system, brings it to Massachusetts, and presto, government education in America is born. And so people who think like, oh, we need to go back to like 1960 before they banned prayer and Bible. Folks, it's been rotten from the beginning.
Yeah. This whole agenda to get Christianity out of the way so they can implement their goals. It sounds very Gramscian, Antonio Gramsci, very much like that, going through the major institutions. So they got the education taken care of. They got Hollywood taken care of. They got the media taken care of. They got corporations. They got the government to some degree. But since we're talking about that, you just recently posted something on your Facebook. It's an interview you did with Representative Maria Elvira Salazar. And the question you asked is socialism compatible with American principles? And Alex, I know it must be very tedious for you to have to come back, almost go back to the basics and have to explain this, go back to why, no, socialism is not compatible. Does that frustrate you, seeing Mamdani elected in New York, seeing communists and socialists in the growth, at least in the Democrat Party, and more acceptance among young people? When Bernie Sanders was running in 2016, I think around 65% or so of kids under young people under 29 were for Sanders, pro-socialism, does it frustrate you that we've got to go back and teach why this is a problem in America?
It's endlessly frustrating, Dave, but it goes right back to what we're talking about. They're being indoctrinated from the time the government gets a hold of them to believe in socialism. This is a socialist institution, right? Socialism is the government owns the means of production. In this case, the means of education, which is part of the means of production. Karl Marx, right? Our new book is Woke and Weaponized, How Karl Marx Won the Battle for American Education. Karl Marx, one of the 10 planks of his Communist Manifesto, was government must control education. What is a government education system going to do? It's going to teach people that government is the solution to everything. Government is God. Government is family. Government is everything. Your highest allegiance must be to government. So I'm grateful for Congresswoman Maria Salazar. She's a great lady. She represents Miami in the U.S. Congress. And, you know, I'm from Miami, so I'm thankful for that. Her family personally experienced the tragedy of communism. And she's been on the warpath trying to get government schools to teach children about the history of communism because they don't know, right? But the reality is, if we continue allowing socialist schools to indoctrinate the next generation, it's over. And they're built on a faulty premise, right? The guy I wrote the new book with, Robert Bortons, he's the CEO of Classical Conversations. And what they say about the purpose of education is it's to know God and make him known. You look at Common Core, what's the purpose of education? They tell you it's college and career readiness. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you have the model of education that the church has understood to be real education for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. The purpose of education is to know God and make him known. The most foundational element is the fear of the Lord. The Bible says that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge. The modern so-called education system completely rejects all of that and brings in this whole new idea. And so to Congresswoman Salazar's point, if we don't stop the propagation of this mind virus of socialism among our young people, something like 80% of them are in government schools, we are in some really big trouble. And, you know, if you want to know what that looks like, there's plenty of places you could go. You know, Cuba, for example, there's North Korea, there's Angola, there's Zimbabwe, there's Mozambique. You know, China tried it. Soviet Union tried it. National Socialism in Germany. Pol Pot in Cambodia before he slaughtered half the population of his country. This always ends in disaster, and it will end in disaster here if we don't stop it.
How far we've strayed from to know God and make him known. Education. Yep. I'm thinking of Harvard. Harvard was established by a pastor, theologian, John Harvard. The presidents of Harvard, I don't know how many of them were theologians. And you needed to know Greek. And by the way, they were based on John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Look up, friends, if you don't believe me, the early days of Harvard and probably most Ivy League schools, that's what they were based on. But now look at today. So, Alex, you mentioned the UN, and let's transition. It might be a clumsy transition, but let's transition to one of your interviews you recently did. The headline is, the United Nations, the UN, plans to wait out Trump to implement climate agenda. Now, you were reporting on the UN climate summit. Tell us about that.
Well, and this is what's interesting. There's a perfect transition, Dave, because we were there. I go to these every year to cover them for the New American Magazine. And every year they say the same thing. Yeah, Americans don't believe us, but that's okay. We've got their children. Right? We're going to brainwash all their kids until they believe this garbage. And that was the heart of their plan. They had a huge event there. They called it the Greening Education. It was UNESCO, the UN Education Agency. It was the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. And it was the Marxist Brazilian Department of Education, Ministry of Education. And they were very clear. Education, so-called, is the heart of climate action. And they're very clear. The head of UNESCO's education arm said, it's not enough for the children to just understand climate change. We have to move them to action. In other words, we're training up little activists for the climate cult. And so, yeah, they were disappointed with Trump. You know, they don't like that Trump is calling it the biggest con job in the history of humanity. actually, while we were down there, Trump said that there seems to be a conspiracy to promote climate alarmism and that they ought to be investigated. And he says, maybe they are being investigated, which I hope they are. That's a giant pseudoscientific fraud. But they know all they got to do is wait long enough. And they'll have our young people, the older people who know it's a lie will die off and they win. So we've got to address it.
Wow. You're right. These are all tied together. We've got to take a brief pause with Alex Newman. The website, again, friends, is libertysentinel.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about an article from Alex over at The New American on the climate cult and how religions are uniting behind some very concerning movements. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaa, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Okay, and if Alex Newman's schedule changes, we're trying to get him squeezed into the lineup, and I'm saving a spot for you, Alex, just for you know, just in case. But I know you're booked for another conference that weekend. But friends, we are in our third year of producing Worldview Matters. Praise God. I was told I had to get them to double check on this, but by the executive director here, that we are averaging over 500,000 downloads per month, and that's audio on Worldview Matters. So we're in year number three. It's fundraising time. We're a nonprofit. You can get a tax deduction. I'm being very transparent here. We operate on your prayers and you're sharing the podcast and your donation. So if you're able to give, for example, $200 or a monthly gift, $25 a month, we'd love to send you our brand new stainless steel tumbler. It says Worldview Matters on one side and keep speaking the truth about things that matter. That's my tagline. On the other side, if you're able to give financially, go to worldviewmatters.tv. But most importantly, again, thank you for your prayers and support. The spiritual warfare, as Alex and all the guests that we have on, that we've had on through the years, they can attest to, you know, when you're doing work for God and you're out in the public, you're going to be attacked and there will be warfare. But praise God, you guys pray you're aware of that. I just want to thank a handful of friends recently who've been given. We've been reading off friends, Peggy from Pine City, Minnesota, Ignacio and Rhonda from Duluth, Minnesota, Sue and James from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Doug from Cornelius, North Carolina, George from Panama City, Florida, and Carol from Denmark, Wisconsin. Thank you. And yeah, I think I got all that. Those are the most recent. So good. Praise God. Back to Alex Newman. Now we are going to talk about the climate cult, and that's appropriately named. But my interest in this story, Alex, is religions. People that so-called are Christian or represent the Bible or believe maybe the Bible or at least parts of the Bible, how they've fallen behind this climate agenda. Can you explain how that plays into your article, Climate Cult, Religions Unite at COP30, COP30, Amid Global Repaganization? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's really several stories wrapped into one, and this may be one of the most important takeaways for Christians. First, I want people to look at that statue right there. Look at that picture. If you're watching us, if you're not listening to us, if you're watching us, look at that picture there. If you're listening to us, I'm going to describe it for you. It is officially the Dragon Jaguar Guardian Spirit of the COP30, the 30th Conference of the Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. And for those of you who can't see it, it is some sort of freakish hybrid of a dragon and a jaguar and a man with two giant devil horns sticking out of its head, nasty looking fangs in its open mouth roaring, and it's clutching the world. I'm reminded, of course, of 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, where it says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so this was the official guardian spirit of this ridiculous, abominable climate conference. That statue was actually donated by the Chinese Communist Party, the most murderous dictatorship in the history of humanity, ruthless persecutors of Christians. And they said it represents the fusion of the Chinese dragon spirit with the Brazilian jaguar spirit. So I personally thought that was a perfect representation of the spiritual reality behind this conference. But a couple quick things, Dave. One of the big takeaways from this whole climate process, and I've been tracking this for many years now, is the religions of the world, and I use that in the biblical sense, right? The world's religions are all uniting behind this effort to save Mother Earth from the perils of humanity. And as part of that process, we're watching what I describe in the article as the repaganization of the world. And so allow me to just flesh this out for a moment, Dave, because I know it's complex, and I know many Christians in America today don't even know church history. They don't know, the process of the gospel spreading and what that did. But if you look, for example, at the Roman Empire, prior to the arrival of the gospel, you know, as Paul was trying to preach within the Roman Empire, you were dealing with a pagan society, a society that believed infanticide was normal and wholesome, a society that had widespread practice of institutionalized slavery, a society that had orgies and sex cults at demonic temples. And as the gospel spread, these practices were suppressed. Paul actually writes in Romans 16 that our God will soon crush Satan under your feet. And that happened as the church in Rome and the churches that he was planting throughout the Roman Empire started basically preaching the good news and enlightening people with the light of the gospel. And it took longer to get, up to pagan Scandinavia, where the Vikings were, raping, pillaging, sacrificing their daughters to demons, things like that. We're now watching a deliberate and concerted effort to overturn all that progress and repaganize the world. And that's been clear to me for a long time. You know, at the climate conference in Cancun, the lady who was running it, Cristiana Figueres, the executive secretary of the UNFCCC, started it off with a prayer to Ixchel. She said it was the goddess of tapestries and creativity. I actually looked it up. It's the Mayan goddess of cannibalism and war and human sacrifice. And so they have this idea, Dave, that Christianity is the reason we have all these problems. And this was first really public. Obviously, right? And so this was first publicly articulated by a professor at Stanford, Princeton, and UCLA named Lynn White back in the 1960s. He argued that Christianity was an anthropocentric religion, and that because we bigoted, crazy Christians believed that God had created us in his image, that God had given us what's called in Genesis, right, what people call the dominion mandate. We're supposed to take dominion of the planet, take charge of nature and the fish in the sea and the animals. That we are the cause of what he called then the ecological crisis. They still believe that today. And so what we saw at the COP30 was a blatant effort to bring in pagans to lecture the rest of us. And so they had every kind of pagan. No, really. I mean, it's in the Amazon rainforest. They brought in thousands of people with headdresses, and they're openly saying prayers to river spirits and forest spirits and rock spirits, saying this is the way we heal the planet. Mother Earth is mad at us. Father Sky is mad at us, but we need to do these things to appease these different pagan spirits. So this is all happening in the open. And the goal is to repaganize the world, to eliminate the influence of Christianity, to eliminate Christian civilization, and rebuild the world on pagan thinking.
So, Alex, one more question on this topic. Help me understand and help our viewers and listeners understand how someone that is a Christian leader, or I don't know, maybe you have to put Christian in air quotes, can get behind something like this that is so blatantly secular, pagan, or demonic even.
Yeah, it's very sad. There was an organization down there purporting to represent 140 different Christian denominations, ACT Alliance, I believe it was called, the World Council of Churches. But, most Christians in America knew that the World Council of Churches was like a Soviet front group. So, most American Christian denominations thankfully didn't fall for that silly thing. But you had a lot of Christians very, very active in this process. And I always try to have grace with people who claim the name of Christ. People, we can be misled. We're supposed to be discerning. We're supposed to be in the Word. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be active within us, helping to discern truth. But ultimately, when you look at this long enough, it's 100% clear that it's based on lies. We know Satan is the father of lies. They're unveiling a demon guardian statue. I mean, they couldn't have been more blatant. And holding hands while we're praying to forest spirits and river spirits, if you claim the Bible as your guide, if you claim Christ as your Lord, I encourage you to go back and read Deuteronomy. I encourage you to go back and read Leviticus. These kinds of things are absolutely unacceptable. The Apostle Paul specifically refers to these kinds of pagan deities as demons. And so what fellowship hath Christ with Belial, right? We cannot be partaking of these satanic religious ceremonies. And so I would urge my brothers and sisters, if you're in a church that's preaching climate change instead of Christ, you really need to re-examine what's going on there.
Yeah. Okay, Alex, again, friends, thenewamerican.com for that article. LibertySentinel.org for so much other great information. But we've run out of time. I had an article on AI, the one about the third of U.S. children caught up in CPS, Child Protection Services investigations. I had a question about China. Alex, if there was one thing that you're maybe concerned about going into 2026, and I know there's like a dozen, but what's on your radar?
Well, there's just so much, Dave, but I would urge Christians to be in the Bible. You know, the Bible is our weapon in this battle. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 calls it the sword of the Spirit. And so, you know, be practicing with your sword, be reading your Bible every day, be in prayer, because spiritual deception is running rampant. Evildoers are trying to capture the hearts and minds of our children. And we absolutely must be aware of these things. We must be ready to combat and expose this evil, as we read in Ephesians 5:11. It's getting increasingly obvious and hard to ignore. So, brothers and sisters, now is the time to get involved and be active in this battle.
So many other issues and articles that Alex raises and writes about on all his various platforms. But we've still got a minute and a half, roughly, just under 2 minutes. Christmas is a week away, and we're here already. We're in the season. Any thoughts on whatever you want to share to encourage our family in Christ, Alex?
This is a very unique time of the year where people are really open to hearing about Christ. You know, most of the year, they don't want to hear about it. You're a bigot, whatever. But now, you know, presents and there's manger scenes and there's Christmas trees. Take this opportunity, brothers and sisters, to share the love and the light of Christ with your neighbors and with your family. It's an incredible and very unique opportunity that comes by just once a year. So let's make good use of it for the glory of God.
Amen, brother. Thank you. And how can we pray for you and your family?
Just pray that, you know, we would stand firm. We've got our six now. We're homeschooling, hoping to bring them up as Ephesians 6 forces in the fear, discipline, nurture, admonition of the Lord. And pray that they would stand firm in the faith and that they could be a light in this world and that we could send them out into the world as arrows, as Psalm says, to be a good influence for Christ on this increasingly dark planet.
Yes. And also, friends, pray that the Lord would enlarge Alex's territory and pray for protection for him. Not only his health, but physically over his family as well. Just some too many crazy people out there. And we've learned a lot since Charlie Kirk was assassinated and the intolerance of just what we believe and our words, not our actions, but our just our words in the biblical worldview. So we're entering in a kind of new territory in 2026. But love you, brother. Thank you so much for your time today. Good to see you.
Love you, too, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Friends, thank you so much for sharing the podcast and for your prayers. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.